back to the Creative Weirdos podcast. Sorry, it's been a minute since my last episode. Been super busy around here and wanted to get a good chunk of new ones recorded. Plus, this is the perfect timing for my episode with a new friend, Andy Cutler of Coffee Cut Roasting. We talk about everything from the weirdness of bacteria and microbes all the way to the paranormal and the coffee community and community in general. This weekend, I'll be traveling to Chicago for the Specialty Coffee Expo, which is the biggest gathering of coffee folks that goes on around here, and Andy will be there too. So I thought this was a perfect time to drop this episode, and go check out Andy and his coffee and everything else he's got going on. It's all beautiful, and thank you for sticking around. I hope you all have a great day, and I'll talk to you soon. Take care, and if you want more stuff, it's linked below. Until next time, bye-bye.
Aquarium experience at the zoo. Omaha Zoo is like the best zoo in the country for sure, and they have the largest indoor aquarium or like zoo.
Oh,
aquarium.
Hell yeah, that's so cool.
Yeah, so for Christmas she got me the backstage experience, and so I knew I was just gonna get rippered and just do this, right? Like I knew that's what I was gonna do, and she knew that too, because I love just staring at the jellyfish.
Oh,
like
yeah.
I might as well be the sea turtle from Finding Nemo. Like, hey man, like I just love it.
Ooh, so I'm with you.
Yeah. So like I just dropped a bunch of edibles, and I don't really know the MGs that I ate, but like once we got there, I was looking at my wife. I was like, I just need to sit here for a couple minutes and really catch my breath. Once we got going, it was fine. Like I've been putting some pictures on Instagram, but like, you know, you got to figure it out. It takes time. You got to develop.
Absolutely. Absolutely. How was the aquarium?
Oh, man. So this, I think this, I had messaged you about like a topic, but it was amazing. It's just so incredible. Like the work that they do backstage, you just don't even think about. Like there's a whole kitchen and I love food, and they just prep fish all day for all the different, right? Like, and they have to figure out specific vitamins for the, cause there's lacking in certain things and it's flash frozen. Like, but then the little things that they grow, like they had a puffer fish that they were in isolation, and they called it Petey Pablo. And, but then they're growing coral reef. So they, ooh, you know, they're a part of a bunch of programs around the nation that are growing coral reef to help hopefully introduce it back into the wild.
Cool.
And it just, the symbiosis is unreal. Like I just, you have all these different species of this beautiful looking animal, right? Like coral is an animal and it's just gorgeous, but it works with the fish that are in there. And when the fish take a shit, like they eat those nutrients. And it all comes down to like bacteria and these little microbes that we don't even see, which actually dovetails into Grant Morrison. I was talking to a friend of mine and she loves Grant Morrison. And when I was telling her about bacteria, she sent me a panel of The Filth. And I thought of you immediately too, because yes, like there's a whole panel of like they're in space and like they cover themselves in somebody's shit and whatever, whatever, whatever.
Absolutely.
But yeah. Dude, it was so good. And please, people, don't use plastic bags anymore. We're really killing turtles. They think they're jellyfish. That shit's real.
Yeah.
I teared up a couple times. That's how so I sad. Was.
Oh, that's so sad. Oh. It's so funny because that's the type of shit. This is a weird, it's weird you say that, because I just randomly, Teddy's school, they send out a notice like once or twice a year that's like, hey, if you can pack the lunches in reusable stuff, not plastic bags, try and get like, you know, and like, it's the type of thing that I read and I'm like, yeah, that's nice. But there's a lot of parents that are like, why do they send us this? Like, why is this a thing that I have to? And I'm like, Yeah. Well, I forgot. People don't. Like, everyone's so jaded these days about everything. But yeah, man, it's real.
it is real. And we don't think about the smallest impact that it has, right? We think about what we see in these large things that are always in front of us. But I don't know. I've been reading this book on bacteria. I Contain Multitudes is what it's called, by Ed Yong.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
I've never read it, but I've heard people talk about it.
It's, you just don't think about it. But bacteria is what started this whole planet, right? And when we left off last time, I'd asked you if you believed in ghosts. And I think that goes into energy and think, like, we kind of dipped into that, but I think it's all connected. I'm a little high and I'm really excited because you just don't, I don't know. Like you said, the plastic, you don't think about it, but it affects so, so much. And 100%. We just don't care.
There's a way to look at this idea of bacteria, kind of. People talk about how we're controlled so much by the bacteria in our gut without even knowing it. Like all these decisions that we're making, like what kind of foods we like and all of this stuff that is, seems like very personal to us. That seems like very, like, this is me. It's not actually you. It's just that your gut biome prefers this thing and we associate that. So there's this way to look at this idea that we are more bacteria than us as like a, oh shit. Like that's like you lose yourself, your individuality, or your sense of identity. But what you can really do is feel that interconnectedness that you're talking about and how like we're not just being run by this bacteria. Like it's all for a greater purpose that like, and I do think there's something to the world or the universe trying to discover itself and using things like bacteria and mushrooms and us to help along that process. And yeah, it's a beautiful place to jump in here.
It is. Well, what I like about this book, and I haven't finished it yet. I'm 90 pages in of 230 pages. So whatever that is, but I just left off and he's saying like bacteria or microbes or whatever we call them, they're neither villains nor heroes. They're just us, right? And I like the way you put that. Like we like to think we're individuals, but even outside of just the bacteria, what we are made of is we're made of a bunch of different shit, you know, like the little cells that run through your blood that it's incredible. This whole idea of life is amazing, which I think could also dovetail into like alien or extraterrestrial, because I think it's pretty crazy to think that there isn't extraterrestrial life, whether that's bacteria, right? These small little things that hold on to something, but just that in and of itself really, I don't know, as of this last week, it's really got my mind pumping about like, well, okay, so that's what's going on. And to think that they could change, like you have UFO people, right? On it, like the frogmen. I was like, well, frog people, that's kind of crazy. And then the bacteria, like, well, no, they shaped your skin or the animals and like somehow figured out how to adapt and turn a squid on, lights on.
Totally, totally.
Then fucking frogmen. Fucking frogmen.
And I think you really touched on something, because whether you're interacting with that feeling of awe and kind of like, you know, inspiration of like, oh shit, how magical everything is, you can access that from very materialistic, like mundane things, or like that next step up, like going to the aquarium and like having those experiences. And I think that's the point of paranormal experiences at the end of the day, is to give people that reminder that this world is a magical place that we're living in. And like, because really, when you look at all of the accounts, it's very, very rare, even though there's plenty of negative aspects to all of them, it's very rare that it's not a complete, like, life-changing experience, that the people experiencing these things walk away with a different way of interacting with the world. And usually it ends in a place of finding something, either like a reignited creative life or religious life or a sense of community. They find like this community of weirdos that they need to be a part of. And then like, I think there's something too of being able to access that way of reviewing the world. I think being a parent can do it. It's done it for me in a lot of ways, of like seeing kids and like that curiosity that is just so, so inherent to us weird little flesh bags. And then we lose it because we get so bogged down with everything else in life. And like, these are all just different ways to reconnect with that giant, like curious thing that goes on. And I love that.
I guess, I mean, last time we talked and I can kind of, community is my big thing. I'm a huge people person. I love people. I'm happy to interact with whoever. I don't think anybody's too big or too small to interact with, right? Like, I reached out to you. I just like, hey, I want to talk to you. So for that, but when you think about it, like, it goes all the way down to the microscopic level, which then tells me on this macroscopic level that this is what we're supposed to be doing. And you know, like, we are supposed to be working together. I don't want to say like in symbiosis though, right? Like, that's what this all is everything is working together. And I like what you said is, so I have a 10-month-old, and it'd be so awesome if he screamed right now, but if you ever follow my Instagram, he's on there today, or, you know, sometimes he'll make an appearance. Hank.
Absolutely.
But to see him grow, we have so many things that we could hit on. I'm just so excited already. It could be the weed. But to see him grow hour after hour is crazy. You know what I mean? But as soon as we lose, and you've talked about it, our imagination, that little thing that's like, hey, there's magic and wonder around us. We get so bogged down in, I need to make $20 so I can fucking pay my light bill, so that I can fucking take care of my kids, so that I can send them. No, that's not what we're alive for. I like, this whole system of like whatever we're in now, this is all like the Matrix. It's kind of real. I don't think it's a computer setting us up, maybe bacteria, but yeah. You know, we have a chance, I think, really now to like define what we're going to do over the next 50 years. And is it, are we going to work together as a community, or are we going to keep hanging out on our computers and not talk to each other and look at our phones all day?
No, you're 100% there, dude. And so you need the symbiosis. Doug Rushkoff, who I'm sure I brought up in our last talk, talks about, like, you have to be present for this stuff to work. Like, you need, for the mushrooms to grow, there has to be cow shit, and there has to be interactions between the different plants that are growing on that piece of land. It can't just be a monocrop thing. Like, all of this stuff needs to be messy and dirty and in person. And that's how we are. We need to be a community, and we need to be breathing in our stinks and coughs and yucky. And like, that's all part of being human. And like, we went through a giant traumatic experience where that got downgraded a lot for a good reason, and for necessity, or whatever you want to call it. But there's got to be a point where we invest in person-to-person community again. And there's something about the way that you can be with other people in person that you can just never recreate, no matter how good holograms or any other technology gets. There is something about the weirdness of humans that need squishy meat bags to be in the same room as other squishy meat bags. And I think, no, there's a million reasons that can get us there. And one of the things that you just touched on that gets me really hopeful is, I feel like more people are realizing the power of story and community, and the fact that like the two things need to go hand in hand, and we need to be able to find community through these different positive imaginal reinforcements that I think are like more prevalent than ever because of shit like just how inundated we are with horrible information all the time, and things that we can't tell whether it's real or not real, and all eventually you just got to get back to making silly shit. Like, eventually it pushes everybody back to like, well, what the fuck do I even want to do in this world anymore? And I think the more that we reinvest in that kind of like youthful curiosity, where you don't really know where you're going and you're not doing it to make that $20, you're doing it because you want to do it. And like, you don't know if it'll ever be profitable towards an end or anything else. Like, I think those are the hopeful moments. Then there's hopefully going to be more opportunities for everyone to live a life like that.
I mean, I hope whenever I like, I have my coffee and all I want to do is just meet you, right? Like, that's the whole point. So like, if I make, so my coffee's $12 for 12 ounces for specialty coffee, which I think is a crazy good deal, but that's because
insane. Yeah.
Yeah. But I also don't have like a ton of overhead that everybody else would incur. Right. But I just want to introduce you to specialty coffee, and I want to meet you. I could give a shit less about the dollar, right? Like, mm-hmm. if I needed to sell it to you at cost, I would, because it's fucking coffee. And but the most important thing to me is that I know who you are. I want to know you. What do you like? What do you dislike? What is your life like? Because I don't know anything else, right? Like, how else do you get to know people? Like, we just need each other. And also, coffee, for those of you, if you're still drinking Folgers, get the fuck out of the Folgers game. Stop supporting them and support your local coffee person, because life is better if you're a coffee drinker. You know you drink it every day. Give yourself a little luxury, right? Like,
absolutely. No, totally.
Get out there and meet somebody. I went to a different coffee shop and met the coffee shop owner there, and it's Amateur Coffee in Omaha. Shouts out Amateur Coffee. Like, just get out there, meet people in your community, because that's who matters. That's who you're going to impact, and that's who we want to impact, right?
Yes.
I don't know if that makes any sense, but
it makes all the sense. And you know, we are talking about one. I love Amateur. I got one of my favorite little newer shops that's come up, and I had a wonderful conversation with them not too long ago. That was like one of my favorites that I've gotten. Like, I haven't done too many with coffee friends. You're probably the third or fourth at this point, but not, you know, it's one of those things that, like, I don't keep the two things separate, but it's always like, I don't know. I don't have a problem talking weird with anybody, but I want to make sure whoever I'm bringing on is going to be fun to jive with, and not just, like, you know, somebody I don't click with particularly. But what we were talking about earlier with the microbes and bacteria and these larger systems that people don't even know they're a part of, the same can be said in these cultural and social systems like capitalism and stuff, because we're not in a system that promotes what you just said. We're in a system that promotes the opposite of what you just said, because most businesses that even start with that ethic, once they grow to a certain point, they can't maintain growth with that ethic. And we're in a system that says growth over everything. You can't, you know, in capitalist society's eyes, you can't say, I'm happy here, I'm not going to grow 10% next year or 3% or whatever. I'm just staying here, because apparently that's just not allowed. And like, that's where I think if we can restructure those incentives, even on small scales, like what you're doing, that makes the difference. And it's one of those things that, like, I don't think people talk about enough, is that when you can make these little pinholes in these giant fabrics, they all add up. So, like, you might never grow past a certain point because of your mentality, but as long as you're okay with that and you know that it's making a positive communal impact, other people are going to see that as a model, and they're going to say, hey, I don't need to grow past here. I can feed myself and my family and just do this. And that's important, because the more that people see that model out there to replicate, the more that they're going to say, hey, community-based businesses are something that I can make and have be not only like economically feasible, but be something that makes me emotionally like excited to go and do this and like have that benefit that's way beyond just keeping the doors open or paying your employees or whatever, you know, the normal Mike, business well,
that's,
stuff is.
That's always my question, is when is enough enough? And I think it's funny that you say this, like, right now in my second job, which I am very, 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 very grateful to have, like, I'm a video editor and by day or whatever, I don't know. I like what I do, but I try not to say that it's my main job, because I always want to say coffee roasting is my main job, and then my second job.
Yep. Totally.
So, but like, I have to write goals. Well, my goal is to not lose my job, I guess. Like, I don't want to go anywhere else. I have exactly what I need. And I would ask anybody that. Like, I work out with some people, and they're always like, well, you gotta get better. You gotta keep going. But to go where? Where do I go? Like, if I have everything I need and want, then what else do I want or need? Right. And I think once you take care of self, that's where like my community comes in. And to your point, like, I know where I want to go. I know exactly what I want to do. And I want to serve just this portion of Omaha, but I believe that a rising tide raises all ships. So if I'm doing well in my area, then you could do well in your area. And we work together to build the whole community. We just can't serve everybody. It's just not possible. You know what I mean? Like, there's no way to take care of everything. So,
and You're right. And like the one thing, I think we touched on this in the last talk, but like the one thing that I've always resonated with the coffee community is there's not a scarcity mentality. There is not like, oh shit, get out of my backyard from my experience. I know that's other people's experiences and you hear stories and stuff, but for the most part, from day one, the biggest players in the specialty game were never like, oh, don't you send samples to my, like there was never that type of mentality. If anything, I think I mentioned last time, we've gotten like some of our best accounts from friends at places like Honor that were like, yo, you should try Brandywine after you're done our rotation. And like that kind of that community aspect is something that's very inspiring and like something that I don't think is in a lot of industries. From my, I have not been as involved in most other industries besides the coffee, but my little, like the little bit of freelance work I've done for like the other type of food and specialty beverage industries, it seems like it's a lot more cutthroat and a lot more big stakes and stuff.
Yeah, like I mean, I've been in the culinary industry. That was kind of like my first real career, I guess, but and that's how I fell into coffee. But it's like high school, right? There's a clique of chefs, and if you're not in that clique, then you guys are enemies and everybody talks shit. And
yeah,
it is cutthroat too though, because like if you're just a cook, then you're just struggling to get a job. Now coffee, I'm super new into, and we talked about competitions last time, but the reason why I like that and the reason only reason I got involved was because of the community. And mm-hmm. like you've said, what I have found is the coffee community is so welcoming. I've only had an issue with maybe one or two, and it's just like, all right, whatever, like, cool. I don't care. Yeah. Everybody else is so nice. Like, I've gotten free coffee. I just want to keep drinking coffee because it's so good. I want to try everybody else's. I started roasting just for myself, but find that like, my coffees are really good. I'm really proud of them. You should buy them. CoffeeCutRoasting.com. $12 a bag. I've already said it, but please. I'm starting a decaf line. So yes,
there you
I'm
go. Excited.
Yes, right? But like I said, I want to be the foray in, but then let people know about Brandywine or Black and White or whoever, right? Like Presta Coffee out of Tucson dropped this coffee that was like cantaloupe juice. That shit's crazy. I want to tell people about it. I don't want to carry it, but I want you to know about it, right? Or like co-ferments, speaking of bacteria, interesting.
Yes.
Right? I don't know that it's just not in my wheelhouse, but I'm happy to drink them or I'm happy to talk about them or, right? Like, because it's exciting. It's a new foray. Yeah. It's something to do. Again, a rising tide raises all ships, right? Like we don't want to do what each other does, but what is the hurt in helping? In the coffee community, from baristas to everybody, is so awesome. Oh
yeah. Woo. Couldn't agree more. It's definitely, I'm very grateful for the little space that we've kind of carved out for ourselves and where we get to live in this little community. But it definitely, it makes me think about something you were saying earlier, I think before we were recording, as far as these like giant cultural narratives that we were all kind of sold going away, and how like, you know, different generations have been kind of stuck in different places. And like, you can see that in the coffee industry in a lot of ways that we were just talking about, because there's only so many paths throughout there as far as supporting yourselves financially. And when you're essentially brought up on these narratives that say you have to own a house and you have to do these things to become, you know, socially successful, and the industry or community you are part of doesn't line up with that financially, that's always really interesting to me. And I feel like really interesting art and different types of creative projects come from communities like that, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's like it almost comes out of a struggle, right? And I think that's because that's where, to me, creativity comes out of just like a release. And it can come in many a form, right? For me, it happens to be food or coffee. And like, I started drawing lately because of you, but I think there's that thing, especially for our generation. There are many ways to make things happen, but you're either like, I feel like when we started coming up, TV was popular. So you either wanted to be like a celebrity, right? And then YouTube came along and we thought that could be the path, or you had to sell your soul and become a corporate shill. And like, that's the only way. But to be creative, like, you're struggling, and I'm a corporate shill, so I need something. So that's where those outlets come from. But that's also too, where you find your community. I think here in Omaha, we have a thing called Benson First Friday. And like, it's just like this little neighborhood with a bunch of bars and people just it's art. It's just a whole art fest of just like different multimedia things. And then you go back and you see the dude in a suit and tie on a Monday, right? Like, it's kind of, I think that's what it is, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's really interesting. Are you involved in the, like, what's the local art scene like around you? Are you involved in that? Or is there a local art scene? Or
I am sure. So a friend of mine is into it. I am not. Like, my scene was really food, and then now I have kids and I'm married, and I like to stay
no
home.
Scene. Yeah, me too.
Yeah. But I want to get out because I like art, but so Benson First Friday is a thing that, like, yeah, there's different. That's the one thing I do know, but I've never been into like high art, which I know is a thing, but I don't.
No, it's funny because the First Friday thing is what made me. I just recently hung artwork at my old school's alumni show, and it was part of the like Wilmington First Friday thing. And I went out there to check it out, and it's one of those things, like anything that's sold, like 60% of it goes to a scholarship fund for underprivileged peoples and like things, really cool stuff. But I was like, who's gonna be out here? Who's going to actually come out? And like, Wilmington's a really weird little city, you know. And like, so I got there. And I was like, oh, well, there's actually a shit ton of people walking around here. And I'm like, I wonder if this is like a thing. Like, is there an art scene in Wilmington that I'm just not aware of and am just becoming slowly aware of? Or am I, again, like, I'm a dad as well who does not go out very often these days. And like, but it was refreshing. And it made me think of something when you brought that up, that like, there's these little pockets everywhere you go, you know, like there's always little pockets of like-minded weirdos and inspiring creative folks and like the kind of the people that make the towns keep going. And I want to talk to more of those people, like the people that don't get notoriety and that are kind of like, they're, you know them if you're a part of this town, but you wouldn't know them any other place. Like, those kind of artists are fascinating to me.
Yes, I was just thinking about this today, actually, is that when you scratch the surface of a topic, the rabbit hole, it doesn't matter the topic, the rabbit hole can go very far, right? And then I think it is also fascinating the celebrities that you find within these pockets. I remember his name is Alika Lifts, maybe?
Yeah,
he's a brewer? Okay, yeah.
Totally. Onyx employee of some sort. I don't know what his official title is at this point, but yeah.
I do not know him. He was in Kansas City when I was there and he was competing, and right? But I don't know anybody. So I like to say I'm beautifully dumb because, like, again, I don't care. But one of the other competitors was like, oh, that's Alika Lifts. And like, da 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 da. I was like, who the hell is that? Right. But then you go to the competitions and like Morgan Eckroth is at qualifiers. Yep. And I was like, okay, I'm starting to see and pick up on like who, but you know, it's coffee. My brother, who's a lawyer, has no clue who Morgan Eckroth is. Or doesn't know what a legal list is. He drinks Folgers, right? He's cool with that. And that's fine.
No, it is weird, the like minor celebrity status that people, I mean, even like for me, it's weird to go to Coffee Expo because I'll have people walk up and be like, wait, you're the guy that does all that art? And like, I've had people kind of cry and tell me some really nice things and been like very touched. But like, again, I'm like I never think about that. And I do not get that locally. Like, no one gives a fuck. Like I could like in Delaware is not like, they don't even know how big of a thing Brandywine is outside of the state, really. It's a very weird situation. But then I go to Expo and I have all these people that are, and I'm like, this is awesome, like very so appreciative and so, but like it's very jarring when like you're not, you know, that's not a thing that like is very, but it's really like, again, it speaks to like how special this little coffee community is because people really do care so much about like anyone that's putting positive input into the community. Like, it is so supportive, and like it's been something that's really it's made me at several times I've been so grateful to have this opportunity because I don't think I would, I mean, any success that I've gotten outside art wise or like, you know, exposure on social, like it's all from Brandywine. Like, it's where it started. Like, people that find my art, like it's almost 80% from Brandywine, you know?
That's totally how I found it. Right. Like I try to keep my account strictly coffee stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's how I found you, through Brandywine. Like, that's totally how I found it. Cause then you get tagged, right? And like, I was like, oh, totally. I hopped on your website. But that's the beauty. Oh, I love your artwork. I I said it last time, I'll say it again. I have multiple pieces of yours. I just, something about it resonates with me. It's that weird, goofy, like, be kind and be weird. It's not that hard. It's not that hard to be nice. Yeah, dude, you have no idea. Like, I have multiple pieces upstairs. I love showing it off. I tell people about it. Like, actually, I need a spring piece, but we can talk about that later. But yeah, like, I just,
dude, that means so much. No, that means a ton, and like, it's so nice to hear that. As in person as we can. But what makes me even happier, to be honest, is what you said a little bit ago, that like, you started drawing because of my stuff. Because that's what I like more than anything. I want people to start like investing in their own creative fun. Like, I want people to start having fun with sketchbooks and like getting like. That's why, like, I say this all the time, especially when I'm talking to like younger art students, and like when I was at that gallery showing at DCAD at the Delaware College of Art and Design, like I had a few people talk to me about this stuff and about like how, and this is actually a point I wanted to bring up a little bit ago about how they're like, what do you do? Like this, I think she graduated 2 years ago and she was talking to me if I had any advice as far as like how to, and I was like, well, what are you doing now? And she's like, well, I'm driving delivery for Amazon, and I'm, you know, that's pretty much it. And I'm like, well, are you still drawing? And she's like, yeah, I draw all the time. I'm like, well, then you're doing it. Like, just, you're here, you're standing at an art community event, you're talking to other artists, you're at home drawing. I know it doesn't feel like you're doing it because you're spending just as much time driving for a soul-sucking company, but you're doing it. Like, there's this thing that happens to people, and it happens to almost everybody, where we stop drawing. One of my favorite cartoonists right now, and I got to talk to him a little bit ago, Nick Forker, he brought up on his podcast the other day about how like there's this thing that happens where we get to be a certain age and you just stop drawing. And like, why do humans stop drawing? And I've been thinking about that a lot, and how big of an accomplishment it is if you can not even make a cent off of your artwork or have any kind of, but if you can just keep drawing and keep the pencil or pen moving, you win. Like, that's it, you're doing it. And like, I don't know, I've been trying to think about how to better phrase that message, because then I said all that to the person that was asking for advice, and I'm like, I'm sorry, that probably sucks to hear, actually. Like, that probably is not what you're really looking for as far as advice for, but like, I wanted to make sure you know that, like, really, there's no advice I can give you that's like linear, you do this and this will be a result. What I can say is that what's happened to me that's been positive is because I never stopped drawing and I never stopped trying to connect with other artists. So you're doing those two things, just keep doing that.
Well, I think it goes back to Grant Morrison. So what I have my sigil on my phone, actually.
You sent me
that video of Grant Morrison, and I watched it and it really connected with me. And what he said was, I manifest everything, but like, I wanted to go see aliens, right? And so I manifested that and I saw aliens. And whether or not he was high off drugs or not, it doesn't matter. He still figured out and had that experience. And he manifested it. And I really, really believe that. But also what he was doing it, right? Like you said, you have to do it. And I am atheist as fuck. And I that's how I am. But I really believe in the universe, and I really believe in energy. And when you put out, just if you're honest about it, right? You just be honest and you do it, it'll work itself out, right? You want to go see aliens? Fucking figure out ways to start to go see aliens, right? Like, someone asked me like, oh, how did you start roasting coffee? I don't know. I just fucking started doing it. Like, I don't want a coffee shop, but if you want to do something, start doing it. I want to connect with coffee people. So reach out to all the people I can, or I go to the USCC events, because that's what I know to do, right? But it's put me in contact with a ton of people, or reach out on Instagram, right? Like you said, it's do it. Believe it. Be honest. Like, profit is a joke, right? We talked about it. Money is this fictional thing that we all created. I'd rather have you have a personal experience and be like, oh, dude, that was so awesome, that interaction, because that's going to mean more to me than some fucking dollar that I'm going to go spend anyway. So,
dude,
who cares?
100%. There's so much truth to that. Grant Morrison does such a good job of explaining these things. And in a way that, because there's, and it's one of my favorite ways of looking at the world, right, is that kind of, like, for lack of a better word, law of attraction, and those things that get a bad rap, but there's probably a lot of good stuff in all of those texts, like The Secret and stuff. And Grant Morrison has a way of explaining those ideas that you're just like, oh, duh, like that all just makes so much sense. And like the way that I think, or the thing that I think a lot of people overlook is they'll say, I'm going to do a sigil. I want this thing and I'm going to invest my intention and do the whole like manifest it and everything. And then it doesn't work. And instead of stepping back and saying, or like they'll perceive it as not working, but instead of stepping back and being like, wait, did it work in a different way? Or maybe that's not what I really wanted. Like, I think that's such a big key, is actually trying to manifest the thing that you truly want. And Mitch Horowitz talks about this in a beautiful way, that, you know, he's one of my favorite seekers and writers on esoteric and all of this stuff. And one of the things he says,
he's got a new book coming, right?
Yeah, it just came out.
Shout out Mitch Horowitz. Okay.
Yeah, Happy Warriors. And Happy Warriors is a history of all of these people and this, the New Age thought that we're talking about. 100%. I haven't read it yet. I'm going to download it soon and dive in. But he talks about simplifying all of this stuff. Do we really need the sigil? Do we really need to do this extra meditative work? Or is the wish, if we can truly identify what we want and not bullshit ourselves, not lie to ourselves and be like flat honest, like, is that powerful enough to manifest that in your life? And he, you know, proposes it might be. And I think there's something to that. If you can identify, because we all have this like line in our heads, oh, I want to be this. But then when you really dig at it, you're like, huh. And I did a process that Mitch talks about, the miracle challenge. I did this starting last year. And that's the first step, is like really identifying what you want. And then essentially there's a very easy format where you solidify that idea of what you want via drawings and writings, right? And you do it for 10 days and you see what happens. But going through that process of identifying what I actually wanted was very interesting, because at first it started, I want to be a children's book illustrator and author. Because there's kids' books have been really special to me recently. And there's something in me that is just like, it feels like it's time to do this. And I've talked to you before, I'm working on one that I'm like, I just sent out for some feedback from one of my favorite children's book authors. And like, I'm in the process of reworking that feedback. But I realized going through that process, that's not actually what I want. I want to tell stories. I want to tell stories. So I changed it to, I want to be a full-time storyteller. And that might manifest in its way of just continuing to tell stories via Brandywine coffee bags, or like, there's a million ways that could remain true. But at the end of the day, what I want to manifest in my life is just the ability to tell stories and support my family off of those stories that make a positive impact and lead to these things that we're talking about. And like one of the things when you start looking at writing comics and all of these things, the trick to storytelling is you can never just be like, this is what I think, you should think this too. That never works, right? The trick to storytelling is getting the reader to put themselves in the position of that character and experience the things you want to convey via that character. And that's how you get people to have those aha moments or have things actually stick around that make an impact. I want to do that. And like, I want to get better at doing that. And that's my goal. But that wouldn't have been my initial way of phrasing that goal. I would have just said, I want to be a children's book illustrator and author. Mm-hmm. And that's not going to work. That's never going to come. So I think there's something to what you said, where like, it's really identifying what you truly want and not like, not letting yourself off the hook on that.
Well, also, but as well, understanding that it may not, and I like the way you said it, it may not be the thing that you thought it was, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
so I remember as a kid, I said this in high school, like, I'm going to be some famous producer. But I always loved music. I went to audio engineering school. And now I do produce audio and video, just not in the way that I ever thought I would. Right. Mm-hmm. Like,
yep.
That to me, I had that realization maybe last year. And I was just like, that's so fascinating. I did manifest this. It's just not the way that I thought it would. And like, even with my coffee, I want community. So for me, my mission statement is to make positive, impactful, and meaningful relationships through coffee. Because what I really want are these things right here, right? This positive relationship that we have. I want that. I want that with everybody. And also, but it's through coffee. Coffee is just like a vehicle. I want to go to fucking whoever my supplier is in Guatemala and like, let's go meet the farms. Because I know that I am very lucky to be where I am. The problems I might have with American politics are what they are. but I'm not stupid, and I know exactly how lucky I am, right?
Yeah.
So I want to make a more impactful relationship, or like, I'm saying it now. I am destined to make an impact on the world. Somehow, yes. Some way, outside of myself, I'm going to make a fucking impact. I don't know what that is yet. I'm going to manifest the shit out of that. But that's the point, right? Like, and like you said, I want to tell stories. I want to be a positive impact through stories. And you do. Your coffee bags are dope as fuck. And I mean that when I reached out to you. I'll tell everybody. I reached out to you to maybe help me design. And then I was like, you know what? No. I'm going to go back to my design, and I've progressed. It started with letters, and then I started like copying images and kind of making them my own. And now my Ethiopia bag's a little jam band of green beans.
I love it.
You know, like doing it, right? There's a lot there. You have to go do it.
Yeah.
And you just have to just be willing to accept that it may not be what you think it's going to be.
Yeah, no, that flexibility of outcome is so important. And like being able to, it's one of those things that you realize, like, again, parenting, there's this letting go that happens where you realize there's no way to really control outcomes in most of the situation. It's like you can control the way you react to the outcomes, but there's no actual like curtailing what's happening in the moment.
Buddy, don't I know it? Don't I know it? I feel so bad for my 14-year-old, but I had her when I was 22. And the other thing is experience. I think we're both in our late 30s, and so we're at a different place. But when I was 22, I was not in a place to be like, yeah, I'm going to let the outcomes be what they are. No, I was a stupid kid that thought like, oh, I should have $100,000 by 25 and X, Y, and Z.
Yep.
The bill of goods, again, sold, kind of fucked us up. But
totally.
So especially
when like making six figures now is what like making 30 grand in the 90s or something like that. I'm pretty sure it's kind of crazy though, the way things have worked out. But dude, here's something I've thought about recently. That's kind of a tangent, but it'd be fun to throw your way. Like those markers, right? Like, you know, getting to be in our later 30s and looking back, like there's definitely some things that I'm like, oh yeah, like that happened for a reason and all that stuff, the time and whatnot gives you. And we have these different markers throughout our lives that say, this is supposed to happen now. This is supposed to happen now. And one of the things I've been kind of noticing and watching for and playing around with in a certain way is how those markers are extending and delaying. And it seems like it's like corresponding with life, with longevity of life extending. And I'm like, oh, so if we start living to an average age of 90 instead of what, 70 or whatever, which I know is against a lot of the numbers right now that like life expectancy is going down, but really that's just a little hiccup. We all know it's going the other way eventually, but like, do those developmental stages change and grow with like an expanded life? Because one of the things that I feel very connected to thought-wise is that, like, you know, and I know you said you're atheist and I'd like to know your thought. This is really what I was getting at. But like, I don't think my life ends when my body goes in the ground, right? Like whether you want to look at that as the earth reconsuming my body and it going back into the soil and becoming rain eventually and being you know, there's that whole reconstitution of physicality and materialism and the idea that like energy's got to go somewhere and we're just balls of energy, that energy's got to go into something and like you continue on. But I also feel like, you know, in my own personal beliefs that like me, who I am, does not end. Like this is just a vehicle in which I am a part of. And that like, you know, when that vehicle is laid to rest, things still continue to happen. And I think more than the actual physical extension of life, the popularity of ideas like that could change these markers, these cultural markers. Like if we start letting go of the fact that the end is when material ends, like how, you know what I mean? I don't know. This is something I've been thinking about a little bit more recently as my kids going through school. And there's a lot of societal norms that are placed on your kids as they go. And you're like, oh, yes. Why is that a thing?
And they've changed.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's crazy. Right. True. Like from when we were kids. But see, I don't necessarily believe in an afterlife, but I know that like we've talked about, we're this bacteria and blood and like all these different atoms, and energy can't be created or destroyed. And so like we kind of, I mean, I do believe, like, if I want to just be put in the ground, right? Let me decompose. I don't know. Bones don't decompose, though. That's really weird. I don't know. Either way.
That is really weird.
Right? Like, we find bones years and years later, but skin and everything's gone.
Mushrooms eat them. One of the really interesting things with fossil stuff is that there's a certain type of mushroom that formulated to survive off of carbon, like the same carbon that fossilizes and everything. Same thing with the oil record. The reason we only know so much about the oil, like, you know, it only goes back so far, is because this type of mushroom figured out how to eat the oil and survive off of it. And then we just don't have record once that mushroom became prevalent around the world. Same thing. Like, there's way, you're right, like, there's these things that don't go away, but then Earth comes, like, something comes along to figure out how to deal with those, which is super interesting,
right?
But yeah, I was wondering, it's one of the questions I do ask a lot on here, is what people think of the afterlife. And I you're probably one of the first people I've had on that's like a very nothing goes on, lights go out. Like, is that more or less where you're thinking?
Yeah, just because, like, if you think of, then here's my question. So what happens to animals? Like, if we have souls, then they have to, too, because we're all just like the same thing. It's just different evolutionary states, right? Like, we figured 100%. Out how to, our brains to get bigger. So then that means that, like, cats and everybody keeps moving on. And I love the idea, but I also like the idea of, like, Coco, right? Like the ofrenda, and you just have these memories of the people, and that's how you survive. It goes back to storytelling. I don't think, like, your spirit lives through those stories that people continue to tell. My great grandfather was in World War II and yada yada yada, or, you know, like, this, that's where survival happens, I think, in the afterlife. I think the lights go out, let me become a tree, let me become whatever I become. But the energy does have to go somewhere, though. This is what I don't know. That's the unknown, right? I don't know.
No, and this is where I think the fertile ground of imaginative exercise can come in. And you can really, I mean, so what fascinates me about the whole thing is when there is consistencies from different, whether it's different religious ideas or different scientific ideas, and the two seem to merge. Like, these ideas that, like, there is a reconstitution of things, and, like, what it really gets down to is what you think consciousness is, and what you think, like, what that little voice inside your brain is and everything. And, like, what, like, I really love thinking about those big ideas, because there's no right or wrong answer anymore. Like, you're forced to sit in something that you can't Google. You can't just say this is it. And that's the point of it to me, is that, like, we're supposed to be comfortable with this capital M mystery that doesn't have an answer. And what makes life more gratifying and satisfying is really investing in those capital M mysteries, not to get to the end of it and say, this is why this all happens, but for that whole fucking journey and the whole process of meeting people along the way and learning a million other things you would never think you would learn about. And, like, that's the thing, you know? So whether it's life after death or consciousness, I think all these things are tied together, and, like, they are the most important questions we can ask. They are the things. And it's not because they're the most important questions we can ask because there's an answer that's going to improve our life, or that's going to be able to be packaged and sold or become the next big hit technology or anything. It's because it gives you that magical framework. It gives you that view of the world that, like, oh shit, everything's bigger and more than I could ever imagine. And that's what I really like. So whether you're atheist or not, if you can just grok with the idea that something something goes on, like, there's something that I don't know. Cause a lot of the times I think atheism and these type of things, and, like, being like, nope, lights out, it's used as, like, an answer, you know, like you're not using it as an answer. You're not saying this is what happens. So you're saying this is what I think happens because it makes the most sense to me, but who knows what happens. And usually that's not the way that atheism is presented. So
it's usually, like, shoved down your throat and yada, yada, yada. It's just, I don't have time for that. And think what you want to think. Because it
totally.
Really, I think it's just a comfort, right? Like,
yeah,
but I
yeah.
also think it's, to your point, I think it's almost like a safety cushion. I have this thing, you know, stay silly and adventure seriously. Like, I really believe that. Like, my mom and I have been saying that to each other, like, this new adventure. And it's all, I've been on that for a long, long time, almost my whole life. And it is the journey. And so if I truly believe, which I do, that nothing else happens, then I'm going to make every fucking second count from now on. Like I quit smoking, right? Because I want my lung function to be tip top. So I'll just stick with edibles. Like I work out. I want every moment to count. And so that's where I'm at now in life too, right? Like,
and that's what matters. Again, to go back to Mitch Horowitz, it's all in relation. Like he's like, I don't really care about what you believe. It's how those beliefs make you function with your family, with your neighbors, with your friends. Life is in relation. If your beliefs make you a kinder, more open, positive person, fuck yeah. If your beliefs close you down and make it so that you're an insular, like kind of dickhead, then yeah, you should probably take a look at those.
Yeah, it's perfect timing to see, like, our Christianity is the easiest one to blame, right? But like, oh yeah, I'm Christian and da da da, but I have X, Y, and Z beliefs. And also, it's never rooted in like the actual fact. It's just what I heard and what I actually think. It's never... If people actually read the Bible or the Quran or any of these things, they would see that they don't actually believe any of this shit. They just have this idea, right? And I just remember I listened to a podcast, Hound Tall Discussions with Moshe Kasher, and he had somebody that dealt with death. And that's really where a lot of religion comes from. And that's cool, right? Like it's just an easy way to think about it. But I also like to think, though, that somehow my energy does continue. And if that's through... like reincarnation, I could see that being possible. Why not? Like we're all just these balls of energy.
Here's the thing. This is what I always get to, is we're all saying the same shit. Like whether mm-hmm. we're talking about us continuing to live through stories, or we're talking about, you know, our essence kind of continuing on via, I don't know, there's a million models that I love to play around with. Like the idea, there's one that one of my favorite writers, Joshua Cutchin, talks about, where we all get collected into a pool. Like all of our souls go into this pool, like a cloud, and then we're kind of mixed up and re-rained down upon the earth. So like each person that comes into the world, they have a little bit of everybody in them. So like sometimes they might, you know, they might recognize, like, you know, it talks a lot about those past life experiences where kids know that they were, you know, a World War I army officer, and they can tell you exactly where they were stationed and the town and where they died and all this stuff that like a four-year-old should not know, you know. And like there's a lot of cases
that embedded in DNA and bacteria.
So there's a bunch of totally could be, hell if I know. My current favorite thing to talk to think about or to kind of play around with along those lines is the idea that time is just fucking weird, and that like these are all just little blips of how we have become so married to this idea of linear time because it allows us to function so well with the world that we live in, that we forget that's really not the case, and that the things that we're doing currently are affecting the things that are happening in the past, and the things in the past are affecting the things happening in the future. It's all give and take. And there's lots of smart people scientifically that have like won Nobel Prizes recently for explaining these things. And like, so I think there's something to, like when we talked about ghosts at the end of the last episode, that's what I mean by like, I do believe in ghosts, but it's probably not the way most people believe in ghosts. I don't think your nana's hanging out in your house and like whatnot. But I think that there's these weird time things that happen and these weird ways that we experience chronological things that we're just kind of catching up with. And like, I think it's all an amalgamation. And that's my favorite person to talk about with in regards to this stuff is Robert Anton Wilson, and maintaining agnosticism and saying, yeah, like that ghost in your room could be Nana coming back to visit you. It could be a projection of a different dimension that's showing up. It could be a time slip. It could be all of those things, because if you leave all of the possibilities open, you're not closing yourself down. You're not like saying this is it and this is it. You're saying right now I believe this, maybe I'll believe this in a little bit if the information is presented to me correctly, or if I'm feeling, or to stick in the weirder, if I'm feeling like that's the right way it should be. And I think there's something that we've kind of in this weird information zone that we live in these days. We've lost that like open-mindedness that he had. This, he wrote a whole language called E-prime, and the whole idea is you take out absolutes. So the his one example was always, instead of saying the sky is blue, you say the sky appears blue, because the sky is not actually blue. It just looks blue to us because of the way the lights hit our eyes and the chemical reactions change inside the little piece of brain that hangs out of our skull, but that sky is not objectively blue. And I'm like, God damn, makes so much sense.
And time does not objectively exist. I'm with you. Yeah. Well, I started reading this book called The Physics of Time or something like that by Carlo Rovelli. Again, you try to read these books and it's just like, I am not smart enough to read this.
I've never read that, but I've read books that reference it a lot.
Yeah. But he just says like, it's just heat, right? And heat is just a transfer of like, you can't go backwards. It can only go forwards.
Yeah.
Also, like we've talked about, and I've heard you talk about too, like where you get in the creative zone and it feels like time just disappears. But I also don't feel 36. I feel 32, right? Like I don't know, these things that, like you said, time's weird, right? And that's where, like, again, I think energy not being created or destroyed is very important, because when it comes to time, then right, like what if you did get trapped, like just for a second? Like, I don't know if you've ever seen the UK ghost show, but there's like a moment where this lady repeats falling out of the window every night at midnight. And it's kind of that, to me, I can say that that's possible, right? Like energy does not get created or destroyed. Somehow, some way, this got left in this section. I don't know.
Stone tape theory, they call it, where like they call it the stone tape theory in the paranormal world, where there was like a event that causes such a massive amount of energy that it just plays on loop, and that it's not. So if you get into the nerdy side of ghosting and whatnot, most people would say that that's not an actual spirit that's experiencing that every night. That is just like an impression that was ingrained in that space, and they a million ways of talking about it, like quartz and stone accepts this energy more, so it happens more in like these stone castles, or like if there's water nearby, there's all these things. And that's one of my favorite parts about the paranormal, is you can just throw out some batshit ideas, right? But you're going to hit on some things in there. Like there are these really interesting, consistent things from different paranormal experiences that line up and whatnot. And like, at the end of the day, my favorite part of all of this is kind of goes back to the theme of what we're talking about, is it's a way of just talking about weirder stuff and being able to be like, oh yeah, like I'm really glad there's somebody that is spending so much time thinking about what this thing is that is a ghost reoccurring. Like, you know, like it's nice that there's those avenues out there to think about stuff a little bit differently and like to access those weird points.
I think it's always like you're trying to explain the unexplained, right? Like, again, death, it goes back to death, but sometimes it's fun to explore. And I think quartz and all these stones sounds crazy. Who am I to poo-poo that? Because I think fucking all sorts of things are crazy, right? Like,
100%.
That's what I love. And one thing that you've talked about on here that I really, really enjoy is, if you put it out there, then doesn't it exist? Because... like a Sasquatch, right? Like a cryptid is a perfect example. If you keep repeating it, at some point it could truly or it could have existed. Anything could be built at any time. Like there's no saying that it can't. And the more that you try to manifest it, well, then how do we know that these little bacterias don't start to like form? And, you know, I truly believe like anything can happen.
I love people that can really nail down like ways to explain how on a daily basis we experience these unseen forces and we believe in them wholeheartedly. And Johnny L. Tenney, one of my favorite dudes in the world of the weird, like the original weirdo, like I love this guy. And he brings up this idea where he gets approached, because he does a lot of lecturing and stuff, and he'll get approached by materialist people a lot, and he's like, do you not love your kids? And they'll look at him and be like, huh? He's like, can you show me love? Can you write down love? Can you let me hold love? Can I hold love? It's not a thing. But if you go home and tell your kids that you love them and you don't say, well, my neurons are firing this way because it's beneficial evolutionarily for me to keep you alive. And like, if you want to sit down and talk to your kids like that, then I believe you believe your shtick. But if you tell your kids you love them at night, you believe in the weird. You believe in this thing that is more than flesh and blood and material, because we all have it. It's in us all. And like, there's got to be, or one of my other favorite examples is, again, Mitch Horowitz. He'll tell people, like, he'll get pushback from skeptics and stuff, and he'll be like, if you truly don't believe these things, go in the bathroom right now, turn all the lights off, and say Bloody Mary 3 times in the mirror, and let's see how well you, and no one will do it. Like, there's these things where, like, and it, like, I, even the most skeptical people, there's always something. Like, it might not be the Bloody Mary, they might not have kids, but there's something there that can tie them to that feeling of, like, there's something more than just what we are. And that's what it's all about for me.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I know I say I'm atheist, but it doesn't mean that I don't, like, I know that there's way more wonders to this world and to this universe than we will ever know. And, like, yeah, we live in a very exciting time because we have, like, better technology and tools to start to discover new things. And I don't think that, like, just because there's a scientific breakthrough that it takes anything away from the magic that it is. Like,
totally.
That's the thing. Going back to the aquarium, go look at these coral reefs hanging out with these tiny little fish. That's a small ass ecosystem that just exists on its own because everybody works together. It's magic. It really, really is. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I don't have any other, but so, like, that's why I think it's exciting. So for anybody to poo-poo, like, anybody's thing, except for flat Earth, like, there are certain things that we have proven, folks. Like, let's just, semblance, but, like, but you know what I mean? To think, well, if there's something that's unexplained, well, it could be, you know, and also totally things change. Things totally change, and I'm okay with that. But the Earth is still round. I'm going to solidly stand on that ground.
I'm not going to contest that one, man. Not at all. Dude, no, I think there's something so beautiful to this line of thought. And I'm really excited to be able to do this silly little podcast and be able to talk to people like yourself and be able to, like, just these random connections of being able to see the stuff in action, because that is hard sometimes. Like, it is, especially what I do. It's very insular. I'm alone a lot. I'm thinking about these things a lot. I'm talking to myself. I'm like, I'm writing down notes and everything. I'm like, I very self-invested, but, like, to be able to connect with other people like yourself that are so positive and also trying to put that out into the world is just, it's very meaningful. And I'm so glad that we have found our own little symbiotic relationship here. This is, again, like, I know last time I mentioned this, and I think that we can do it in a whole lot of different forms. But I think that there's something to this kind of creative boom that's going on right now that we can really invest in, and we can make the stories we want to see now in the communities that we're a part of. And I'm excited to make those stories with people like yourself.
Yes. I just, before we go, I just want to, like, we be creative, go do the thing that you've always wanted to do. Let's fight Reaganomics, because that's where we are right now. And I don't mean to be political.
That's really sad. Like, no, but it's true.
It is. But this is, like, my whole basis is that, like, I want you to interact with me. I don't want you to go to fucking Amazon or whoever to buy my coffee. You can't. You have to talk to me. And we should fight back against people and start to support each other, because that is truly what our lives are supposed to be. Yes. If we have to live in this capitalist society, then say fuck you to the big dogs and just say hi to your neighbor, because your neighbor does something cool and you can do something cool too. Like, we all
100%.
Can. 100%. I believe that.
Dude, this is a perfect place to wrap it up. And we're going to do this again. I really enjoy our conversations. I leave feeling great. And I think that is so true. Look to your neighbors. Like, when I was saying earlier, when I spoke with the younger, or not student anymore, but the person that was trying to find their way in the illustration career, I was like, talk to your neighbors, talk to your friends. You're going to find opportunities that you didn't know were there. And they're not going to come from the internet or from sending your portfolio to blind submissions. Like, you should do that stuff. Like, it's all important, but really the real opportunities that I've had, they're local. They're people that you know, like, and it might not seem like the opportunity you want, but take it, because it could lead to being exactly what you needed and grow into what you wanted. Like, I think there's just something to exactly what you said. Look to your neighbor, go see what they do, support them.
Yes. Yeah. Support the people around you. Cause again, I know I've said it, but I'll say it again. Rising tide raises all ships. Even if you don't do what they do, you support them. They get better so that it makes you better. Like there's it.
Yep.
Symbiosis is real, but you have to be present and you have to be here. Yeah. Just fucking do it. That's the other thing. Yeah. Like you said, just fucking do it. You have to do it. If you don't do it, it's never going to happen. It just won't happen.
It's so true. And there's a million more things that we could talk about, but I'm just leaving it there because that's perfect. Yes. That's the message right there. Andy, tell people where to get your coffee or anything else you want them to find. I'll make sure I link it and all that good stuff. And we'll be doing this again soon.
Yes. I would love to. I really want to talk coffee too. So at Coffee Cut Roasting, which is like my last name is Cutler, but it's a play on coffee cup, or coffeecutroasting.com. You can buy my coffee or you can follow me on Instagram and then
go do
you
it.
Can order it and I'll text you and we'll be like, yo, there you go.
That's awesome. And the coffee is wonderful. Andy was nice enough to send me a package and it comes highly recommended. And
thank you.
Just to be able to interact with Andy, I recommend it. Seriously, you are a very wonderful person to have in the life. And thank you for being a friend and being here again, doing this again. The first episode, I don't even know if I mentioned it since we started recording, but we lost a whole first episode because of some weird echo thing. And like I said, I'm going to be doing this a lot more with Andy, I feel like. So look forward to hearing more from both of us.
I can't wait. Todd, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, dude. I'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good.